number L2, Paradigms Lost, Engineering versus Risk Management.
No whooping.
You know, I always forget that this conference is different. You know, I usually prepare like I prepare for any other conference, any other speaking gig. And then I get here and, you know, within seconds I realize this is not your normal security conference. And, I mean, I think it's really good. I think somehow you should remind me, like, before I get here, this will be different. So you should prepare differently. You should think differently. I had a normal talk prepared, and basically this, which is sitting in the back, is basically the essay version of my talk. So given that you're all literate, I was going to, like, dump it and then talk about stuff I want to talk about, because I think that'd actually be, like, more interesting. On Monday, like 3 days, I guess, what, 4 days from now, whenever it is, I'm going to go to D.C. and I'm going to testify before Senator Wyden on internet security. He's holding hearings on internet security, and I was invited. And I've spent the last week or so thinking, you know, what do I want to tell Congress about internet security? You know, if I get a handful of Congress critters in a room and I have 5 minutes to speak to them, what is it that I want to tell them? It's actually an interesting question. Now, a lot of what I want to tell them is stuff I've been saying for a while, that the internet is no different than the real world. To me, one of the reasons we're doing security so poorly on the internet is that we think that somehow because computers are involved, it's magically different. That it's based on technology, and technology can save us somehow, and technology can magically make things better. You know, it's turning out not to be true. In this talk I would have given, I put up a slide where I say, you know, computer security is a 40-year-old academic discipline. Every year there are new papers, new products, new ideas, new techniques, and every year the problem gets worse. Right? It's not that we're not breaking even. You know, we're losing. We're losing ground every year. Someone who spoke here yesterday, CNET, ran an article on what they said, talking about how the new viruses and Trojans that'll happen the next few years will be significantly worse. Now, I thought everything you said made a lot of sense. And that ends up being true for pretty much everything, right? Every new version of Microsoft Windows makes things worse. And I don't mean to pick on Windows. It's, you know, they're certainly bad, but everything else also makes things worse. To me, it's all about complexity. I mean, last year on this stage, I gave a talk about complexity being the enemy of security, where my thesis was that as systems get more complex, as they get more integrated, they get less secure. And there's no way to avoid that. That is an inevitable byproduct of complexity. And I believe, and I would want to tell the Congress critters, that the internet is too complex to secure. That if someone gets up on the podium and testifies, I can secure the internet, they're either lying or delusional. That in fact there's no such thing. Now, often when I tell people that, they get very disturbed and say, well, if you can't secure the internet, what are we going to do? And this is where I go back to the real world. You know, we can't secure the real world, and yet we're all here enjoying lunch, right? Firewalls will never prevent, you know, unauthorized network access, but that's okay. You can't buy a device that prevents murder. And that's both surprising, disturbing, and good. I'm losing the positive word. Right? It's true. We cannot prevent murder. If someone wants to kill you, they would just kill you. Yet we in our society are safe most of the time. And we're safe not because we go out and buy body armor. We're safe for a whole lot of other reasons that don't involve prevention. And I said this last year also. Most computer security to date has centered around prevention techniques. prophylactics. How can I prevent this from happening? And that's not the way we approach security, safety in the real world. If you wanted to improve the security of your house, you wouldn't get thicker walls. Right? That wouldn't be something that would occur to you. Yet, if you want to improve the security of your network, the first thing you think of is, how can I get a thicker firewall? How can I get better prevention? All right, I'm going to go to a few slides. I don't know how the camera is switching. Do slides come up there? No. Well, that's kind of useless. Never mind then. Right. So to me, computer security has evolved. It's interesting the way it's evolved. I came to computer security, through cryptography. And cryptography is neat. Cryptography is mathematics. Right. Security is very much a function of the math. And this is the way of thinking that came from cryptography into computer security. There's a notion of absolute security. This also came from the military. Right? There are threats and you have to avoid them. The threat is eavesdropping. Cryptography prevents the threat. And it was very simple in the notion, in the time when you had Alice and Bob communicating by radio. So this idea dovetailed very nicely with the way we as computer engineers approach problems. Figure out what the problems are and you solve them. Right? If you have a compression problem, you'll apply some compression technology. You have a security problem, you apply Trump's security technology. And this is the way we've been approaching security. The conceit here is that technology can solve computer security and make us secure somehow. The real world has a very different model when they approach security. They have a risk management model. Right? In business, there are many risks. Security is one of those risks. Security is very relative. Right? It's one of the risks that you need to manage. There are lots of different ways to manage it. It's not just avoid the threat or not. You can manage the risk in many different ways. And you can fail. You know, businesses make stupid decisions all the time. It might cost them money. It might cost them share price. But for the most part, they can survive. So if you think risk management and apply that to a security problem, you have a lot of options. Now, I like to take a real example. The security problem is shoplifting. You know, a corner store, and they're worried about shoplifting. There are a lot of things that you can do. You can accept the risk. Right? If you're a grocery store, you can simply accept the risk of shoplifting. Your merchandise is very cheap. It comes off the top line. It's called shrinkage. You're still in business. You can mitigate the risk with technology. You could put tags on your garments. You could put sensors on the doors. You won't eliminate shoplifting, but you will reduce it, and you'll manage your risk. You can manage the risk with procedures. You think of a jewelry store where the merchandise is under lock and key, where if you want to handle the merchandise, an employee will help you, right? This also mitigates the risk. It helps manage shoplifting. Or you could transfer the risk, right? That same jewelry store will have insurance. There'll be some residual risk that they're going to pass on to a third party. And actually, it'll be some combination. Right, you know, any business will do some combination of technology, of procedures, of insurance, and manage their risk that way. Go to the slide. Yeah, and the security they do has to make business sense. Right, you can, you know, this is my graph of security. You can be on the left side, have no security, and a very expensive losses due to breaches. You could be on the right side, have a lot of security, and no losses due to breaches, both of which are going to be too expensive. Right? In the middle, there's adequate security at a reasonable cost. That's what you're looking for. And this is important. Right? I can improve the security at a bank by strip searching everybody who walks into the branch. That would work. But it's bad business. More than half of all shoplifting in department stores occurs in dressing rooms. I can improve security by removing all the dressing rooms. That would work. Right? But you can't do that because it doesn't make business sense. So when computer security people make decisions about computer security, they're only seeing half the equation. They're just seeing more or less secure. They're not seeing smarter or dumber business. And I think that's real important. So once you start thinking about security in terms of risk management, and once you realize that the technology is not going to save you, you're forced to ask, you know, what will save you? And, I mean, there are three points I want to make. One is made in the talk, and two I'm just going to make. The first one is this notion of prevention, detection, and response. I've been saying this for a number of years, that in the real world, we get security primarily through detection and response, not through prevention. You know, we don't make thicker walls in our house. We put in an alarm system. Right? Even a bank will have an alarm. And detection and response, if it works well enough, makes up for shoddy prevention. Right? One of my realities here is that prevention isn't very good. Right? You know, firewalls have problems. All security products will have problems. The neat thing about detection and response is it can make up for shoddy prevention. Right? If you can imagine an alarm that's fast enough and, you know, guards that respond quick enough, you could dump your money in the middle of the street. And it would be secure. So I think this is real important, that this notion of alarms and guards that we use all through the real world. I mean, wander around the casino here. And, you know, why is this casino secure? Because there are guards, because there are alarms, not because the chips are under lock and key. I mean, a casino is, you know, a poster child for detection and response and how to make security that way. So I believe very strongly in monitoring. I have a company that does monitoring. And to me, in a world that's increasingly complex, where the products are failing, you know, more and more drastically, that there's not much else we can do. You know, we do the best we can with the products, but we need to have detection and response. So that's thing one. Thing two, which is actually, I'm completely gone from the talk. I believe insurance will make a great difference in computer security. In the real world, insurance drives security. But if you look up, or maybe not in this tent, but certainly in a building, you're going to see sprinklers. The reason they're there is not because Caesar's Palace loves us. Insurance and building codes demand it. Now, really, since the turn of the century, the insurance industry has driven what kinds of security you might have on your warehouse, on your building, what kinds of fire prevention you're going to have. Because they will write policies that depend on what sort of countermeasures you have. Now, this is really interesting, and this is going to happen in the computers. It can't not. But what it will do is it will force companies to make decisions based on the security of products. Right? Right now, there is no benefit for any company to design a product that's secure. Right? Microsoft knows this. Right? For them to spend money to make Windows secure is a waste of money. They know it, and that's why they don't bother. But if every company had to have hacking insurance, and their underwriter would say, well, look, here's two policies. Here's your policy if you use Windows. Here's your policy if you use Linux. Right? And then they cost different. Suddenly, it becomes a financial decision, which operating system you use. Suddenly, Microsoft loses sales because they are not as secure as another operating system. Suddenly, Microsoft and every other company has to take security seriously because they have no alternative. You know, I don't see this happening soon. This is probably 3 to 5 years out. But the rise of litigation and insurance, insuring companies against losses, is going to force end users to make financial decisions about security of products. And I see a big change there. So one of the things I've been pushing for is the insurance industry to get involved in this. And we're starting to see some of this. There are companies offering insurance. There are tie-ins with products. There was one company, bless their heart, that did offer a reduction in rates if you used Linux. That was a small company, but this kind of thing is happening. You know, right now it's hard. We don't have the actuarial data to really make these kinds of decisions, but that's coming. And that's just a matter of doing it. The third thing that I guess I would want to tell Congress that I think is going to help is law enforcement. And this is also real important. One of the primary reasons we're safe in the real world is because we prosecute criminals. You know, if you sort of look at the difference between the United States and a, you know, warlord-run third world country, is that we have a lawful society. And you can look at prosecution and conviction and, you know, and have lots of philosophical discussions as what it means and why we do it as a society. But one of the benefits it has is it acts as a deterrence. That in fact, if crime doesn't pay, then people are less likely to do it. If you're living in a society where criminals can operate with impunity, you're more or less likely to get a lawless society, you know, which is what you might see in a country like Rwanda, which to some extent is what we see on the internet. You know, we see unskilled script kiddies who, you know, can break into computers and can cause damage because they know they're not going to get caught, because they know they're not going to get convicted. And I think this is a big deal. It's hard to do on the net. You know, we all can talk about the difficulties of doing forensics, of actually, you know, tracking down who the criminals are on the net. We all know the problems. But we need to do more of it. And one of the problems I see, we have any number of customers that we monitor and defend, and we can find and stop hacks. And we'll ask, do you want to prosecute? You know, I thought they would. Almost invariably, they say no. And I think this is also an artifact of being in a lawless society, right? If you're in a society that doesn't operate under the rule of law, you don't want to make waves. You don't want to stand out because you're afraid of retribution. If you live in a society where you believe that the benefits of standing up, the benefits of prosecuting outweigh the negatives, you're more likely to do it. So I think this is a scale that's going to have to tip slowly. Now, there's a whole lot of ways to do prosecution wrong. We've kind of sort of seen them all in the computer world over the past 5-6 years. But certainly there has to be a way to do prosecution right. And I think it's real important that we figure out how to do it. So those are my three. That's now, of course, sitting in front of the Senate hearing, I would have been done 15 minutes ago. They give you 5 minutes, and then they ask you questions, unless they want to interrupt you, in which case they don't give you 5 minutes. I've never done this before. It should be entertaining. But you know, if I was to tell, you know, sort of the average person on the street something, it would be basically this, that the online world isn't any different than the offline world. That because it's being run on computers doesn't make it somehow different. You can't magically prevent crime, just like you can't magically stop copyright violations. Right? The internet is populated by people. And the same techniques that have worked for thousands of years in the real world are going to be the same ones that work on the online world. That really there's no difference. I mean, sure, there are minor differences, but on the whole, it's the same thing. So I've got until Monday. I will be here all week, and I'm leaving on Sunday. I'd be happy if anybody had any comments on that, criticisms, suggestions, corrections. I'd like to hear them. Because, you know, on Monday I'm going to sort of give my spiel and I'd like it to be correct. So I'm happy to take any comments you guys can give me. All right, so it's about 5 after. We're supposed to be out of here at 4:15. Let me see if anything else I can say quickly. I could just take questions. I believe I'm also speaking at DEF CON on Friday at 11. And I believe that's right, although check your schedule and don't blame me if that's wrong. And Friday's tomorrow, right? Yes. Oh, obviously, we're not set up for questions here.
You said that.
I'll repeat it.
Okay, you said that detection response is more important than prevention. What type of response?
It's a good question. It was about detection response. And the question was, I said that's more important than prevention. What type of response? And that's a good question. It'll depend on the situation. You know, the immediate response is make the attacker go away. And the long-term response is make sure it doesn't come back again. Another response could be prosecute him. And it'll depend on who you are. And also, it could be also be do nothing. You know, if you think, let's say you're Amazon, and there's a hacker wandering through your network, and the only way to get him out is to shut the network down, you might decide not to do that the week before Christmas because of the revenues. So what the response is depends a lot on the situation. What is all that squeaking? Excellent. So response could take a lot of forms. You know, if you're a military, your response could be bomb the hell out of them. You know, sometimes a useful response, often not. So that depends, and we need to have more different types of responses that we can use. I mean, right now all we can do for the most part is, you know, make the attacker go away, figure out how he got in, and make sure he doesn't get in again. You know, it's not a terribly useful response. Presumably that will get better. So I think questions are not working because there's. Oh, good, even better. Jeff wants to say stuff about how the end of the conference is going to work. As I mentioned, booklets which have my original talk are on the back. There aren't as many booklets as there are you, but there are a lot of booklets. So don't take two. Actually, it is also on the website. If you go back to the... I will do that in a second. There you go. You copy down those URLs. You can actually see the slides you never saw or read the essay. And also, Jeff mentioned, I also have flyers in the back for my monthly email newsletter. Who gets cryptogram here? Cool. You guys like it?
Yeah.
All right. Tell the people next to you who didn't have their hands up. It's free. You can either subscribe by going to the Counterpain website, or you can hand me a business card and I'll subscribe you. And then I promise to throw the business card away and not give it to anybody else. Yeah, it's coming out Sunday. I have a really good article on computer telephony integration and all the horrors that will cause. So, Jeff.
I don't really have many comments prepared. I just want to thank all of you for coming to the show this year. I know with everybody's reduced budgets, it was probably a bit of a battle to get here. But I'm very happy things turned out well. The show's not over yet, but the way we have it set up is we don't have a closing session this year. So I just wanted to thank everybody now for making it such a success, and hopefully I'll see you all at DEF CON. So with that said, let's give Bruce another round of applause. We have registration set up over at the Alexis Park, so when the show's over here, if you'd like to go over early and beat some of the lines, you can register, I think, up until 8 or 10 tonight. Our registration starts at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and it goes until about 8 or 10 p.m. tonight, and then it opens again tomorrow morning. Oh, it started at, I think it already started, so... Yeah, 1:30, 2 o'clock, I think it started. We have these really cool new badges this year that I bet you can't counterfeit. So.